Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
You've got to respect the ball.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Oh, you've got to love your rugby league.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin.
Yeah, very good afternoon. Welcome, everybody, to the Sunday Sin Bin. And we've got a very special injury crisis, which we'll go to very shortly and get all the details on that. Overnight, of course, though, we saw yesterday Penrith 28 beat Manly 16, Parramatta 32, the Dogs 10, and the Roosters a very, very gutsy win, which we'll go further into. The Roosters beat the Knights 38 points to 4. They were our winners and losers yesterday. And, of course, the whole week, South beat Canberra, Melbourne over Cronulla. The Broncos give the Titans a decent start and then showed a lot of heart to come back and beat the Broncos. And I'm in Brisbane today, and I tell you what, there's a lot of Broncos jumpers in and around the place, which is absolutely fantastic. In the beautiful studios of Triple M Brisbane, Gordon Tallis, good morning or good afternoon to you.
Welcome, Anthony.
Thank
it's
you.
About time you come up to Queensland and visit the most beautiful state this country.
And these I tell you, I've been in radio 100 years. These studios are exceptional. They are so beautiful.
Beautiful view of the mighty brown snake, which we call the Brisbane River.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And the Gordon Tallis studios are beautiful.
Yeah, it's all right, isn't it?
And in our Sydney studio, of course, from NRL 360, Paul Kent, how are things with you?
Yeah, pretty good. Not quite. We don't have a beautiful brown snake to look at. Mm. Jeez. Mm. I tell you what, that's sort of really putting lipstick on a pig, isn't it, trying to... Yeah. Dress up that river as something special.
Well, it's not too bad. Hey, you know what, Paul? Sometimes you just got to deal with what you got to deal with. After all that rain in Sydney, when I flew in over the beautiful Sydney Harbour, it was like Shrek's swamp there for a couple of weeks. It was that brown.
Yeah, well,
you know, when it flooded. Actually, is it the Sydney Harbour or is it the end of the Parramatta River? I don't know.
Gordon.
Where does it start?
Gordon.
Is it the Parramatta River?
Gordon, I can't believe
you
you're trying to...
Harbour.
I think the Parramatta River starts river, around Hunters Hill somewhere, mate.
Is it?
I think so.
And then goes where to?
Out to Parra. Out to Parra, out through Homebush, out to bloody through Clyde and out into Parramatta.
So rivers don't flow towards the ocean?
Well, they do. This one goes from Parramatta to about Hunters Hill, I think, Paul, am I right? And then it becomes the ocean. Something along those lines.
Look, the fact is you've got a dirty brown river and we've got the most beautiful harbour in the world, and for some reason, in that
it reminds
typical,
me of Venice.
Yeah, that typical Queen. Really, Venice.
Anyway, I'm sure Paul, you find a way, Paul, to have a wonderful weekend. Wherever you live, you will find a way. Sydney's Leslie Norton
Anthony,
have a wonderful
Anthony,
weekend.
Listen. Too early to start going here, Anthony. You've gone up. The reason you're up there is because you've gone off your big cash job.
No,
all right.
No,
you have.
Not.
So if you want to start putting, crack shot. Taking pot shots at people. Mm. That's where we'll start with, Anthony. So you're up there filled with cash. You've got all this lettuce in your pockets right now. Yeah. Mm. So do your best, mate.
Well, mate, I was at the 24/7 Sports Bar in Sydney last night, so I haven't had a gig. I've come up here to see those two beautiful grandkids of mine, and I'll come back to you because Les Norton's actually a compliment. That's a compliment to you. Now, Hoops, welcome to you, old son.
Good afternoon, Anthony. Good now, to see good people. You're looking very sharp up there in your crisp white shirt. You sure there hasn't been any sort of arrangement this morning?
No, well, there hasn't. But even if there was, let's just remember to everybody who often says I'm out looking for a gig, I'm out looking for an earn, I'm out hosting something, I actually run a business that provides this service. So there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with charging people either because, as I say, I run a business that does that. Yeah. Do you go to NRL? You should probably go to Fox League and not charge them, Hoops. But do you do that?
More power to Rocket Industries is what I say, Anthony. So I'm glad you're out and about. You're a man of the people. I'm surprised they let you... across the border with some of the bets that you've made against Queensland and the Gold Coast and the threats and all the
Gold Coast mayor has been out striding the streets looking for him.
Yeah.
Anthony's been hiding under the doona playing with the grandkids.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I'm going to be seeing Tommy Tate over the course of the next 48 hours. I'm going to break bread with him. I'm going to break bread with Mr. Justin Holbrook. I mean, let's face it, what I said all along was right anyway. I proved to be right, but it's not a matter of who's right or wrong. The Titans will be okay long term. It's not a matter of me being right, even though I am right this time, so let's just leave it there till I catch up with Tom Tate. We've got more important things to talk about here, boys. Brett Morris, Adam Reynolds, Lindsay Collins, Cam Murray. That's just a start of who's injured here, Hoops.
Yeah, those scenes in the Sydney Roosters dressing room last night, just heartbreaking, where you've got Brett Morris, you've got Trent Robinson sitting there not saying anything, then Josh Morris, his twin brother, comes in and they embrace, and the tears in Brett's eyes summed up the scenario. In all likelihood, that will probably be the last that we see of the great Brett Morris in the NRL. And that wasn't where it ended for the Sydney Roosters. Lindsay Collins is also concerns that he's done his ACL as well and most likely will be out for the rest of the season. There is a little ray of sunshine at Parramatta around Nathan Brown. There were fears he might be out for, in all likelihood, the season as well. But this morning, it looks as though it's a hip pointer injury. And look, he's an outside chance to be okay for round nine. Adam Reynolds at your Bunnies is a minimum 4 weeks as a result of doing some ligaments in his thumb. So it has been carnage over the course of the last 48 hours, Anthony.
All right, well, the first one, boys, I know that everybody wants to talk about is Brett Morris, because those scenes in the dressing room, as you said, and he and his brother are both wonderful ambassadors to our game, and doesn't matter what side you support, you have to say the Roosters have shown so much courage this year. This on the back of it, here's what Trent Robinson had to say.
Yeah, it's one of the proudest and worst sheds I've been in. That's what it was. You know, you've got a really group of guys that really care for each other and they love playing together, and we're really proud of the way that we're playing. And then you've got a guy that's a legend of our game, one of the best wingers that we've seen, and has possibly just finished his career. So, yeah, it's just flattening, extremely flattening. It's hard to explain. It's sort of the game tonight pales in significance to how you feel about Brett and, you know, obviously Lindsay as well.
So I suppose here, boys, Hoops, I suppose if you're a passive rugby league supporter and you watch Brett Morris before that injury, you'd be saying, why is the coach talking about him possibly playing his last game?
Because it's a season-ending injury.
Yeah, I know it's a season-ending injury, but, I mean, were we all absolutely convinced that he wasn't coming back next year?
Oh, I think that was indication that Trent Robinson certainly thinks that way, given he's the coach of the club. Charged with signing him or not, I dare say he wasn't coming back this year.
I think given Brett's injury history as well would also have a big part to do with it, because I know for years, like the last State of Origin series that Brett featured in, which a lot of people, it came out of left field when he was picked for the Blues, a lot of people thought that in all likelihood he'd probably retired from rep footy, but they brought him back into the arena. He was outstanding as always, but he's on limited training. He could only train one day a week as a result of ongoing knee injuries that he's managed for the course of his career. So he's an ornament to the game, Brett Morris, and his brother's the same. I mean, his brother bagged a pair of tries last night, scored one after Brett had gone off with that awful injury, and then goes into the sheds afterwards. Speaking of people this morning who are in that Roosters sheds, they said it's some of the most emotional scenes that you've seen in football. And the way that Brett spoke after the game, where he said to the boys, I'm so proud to have led this group of people at such a prestigious club. He captained them last night. That was the first time that he captained the Chooks. He said it was just such a proud moment. And he said, if this is the end of the road for me, boys, then I'll hold my head high and I want the rest of you to all continue to soldier on. It's next man up at this club. That's always the mentality. Jared Weyrie-Hargreaves jumped in and spoke really passionately as well. I mean, the Roosters, when you look at their injury toll, with these two players suffering ACLs, I think that's now 5 ACL injuries for that club in the last 18 months. Throw in Luke Keary, throw in Victor Radley and Sammy Verrills from last year as well.
Well, and the scenes to me reminded me, I remember when Brent Tate hurt his knee and he's sitting in a dressing room and it can be the loneliest place, and to have his twin brother there and, you know, come up and cuddle him. Like, not too many players have their siblings sitting right beside them where they can, you know, go over there and they know how hard that, you know, that they've worked through their career and fairy tales. And I think Trent Robinson said fairy tales don't often happen in your career, but that probably is a fairy tale, you know, to go out, you know, captain and play the way he has. Like, he's had so many wonderful moments. He's not going to be remembered for his last game. So many players think they're going to be remembered for their last games. I think he's going to be remembered for the career that he's had, and it's been amazing. Yeah. arguably, people talk about him being the greatest winger ever. I don't take that much notice of the, you know, muscly touch judges. You know, the wingers going around there. It's not a position that I focus on, but every time he's ever gone on the field, I tell you what, the bloke that was standing opposite him would have had his hands full.
Absolutely. And there was a little bit of a blow up there, boys, on the Fox League coverage about where I heard Vossie and the guys blowing up about the Medicab and where was the Medicab to carry him off. And then there was a suggestion that perhaps he wanted to walk off the field. I don't know that that was quite cleared up in the end.
Yeah, the way it's been explained to me was that Brett said, I'll get up and I'll be assisted, but I will also walk. I don't want the Medicab. Mm. So that was why.
Trent Robinson spoke about it after the game. The Medicab was there and while the commentators blew up, the fact was that Morris rejected the Medicab. He wanted to walk off and that's... I think that's symbolic of the man that he is, that right to the very end. And that's it was always a very traditional thing in rugby league, that if you could walk off, you did want to walk off. You wanted to have not the assistance of the Medicab and things like that. And I think that I quite admire Morris for doing that.
Hey, Kenty, mate, you've been around a while. Where does he sit with the greatest wingers that you've watched?
Oh, he's right there, Gordon. Look, the game, that position has changed a lot in the past, well, since probably Wendell came along. Wendell came along and suddenly it was that bullocking forward and there was an extra forward run and then the back five became so important. At the same time, the wingers had to become acrobats where they would leap for the ball and catch the ball. So it's gone a massive transition from the first 100 years or 80 years of the game where basically wingers just sat out on the edge of the field and had a role that they just were there to receive the final pass off the centre, to now where the position is you've got to take tackle one or tackle two, hit up on the kick returns, you've got to be there for tackle five or six when the cross kick when you're in the red zone. There's all sorts of reasons now that the wingers are one of the most important positions in the back line. Years and years and years ago, the centre was generally the most gifted athlete in the back line, and that was where all the money went. That back in the Gazni days and things like that, then it became the halves over time, and the wingers were always, as you said, wingers were always the guys that hung around with footballers. That's just the way they were. But it's changed now. They are vital to a team, and look at the teams that have had that have got are having success now in the competition, have all got great wingers. They're not no longer just finishers. They've got to start your set or the kick return. And they've got to be there in the end. And Morris is probably the best I've seen at that acrobatic catch in the corner and coming down with the ball, because he's tall, he's athletic, he's tough, he's disciplined, he's intelligent, he's got it all. He's got all the boxes ticked there. And so out of that, you've got a bloke who you can trust to do his job every time. And that's why he's always so valued by his teammates. And you talk about the great wingers, Gordon. He can do what all the great wingers did. He's also got in his arsenal. He's just that good. So, and he's a try scorer. He's I think fourth now all time try scorer, yeah. Which says what that says it all,
yeah,
doesn't it?
It says a lot. Hmm.
Not well, just boys, in terms of his finishing ability, Paul, but like you look at the some of the champion wingers that we've seen over the course of the last 30, 40 years. You had your blockbusting types, your Eric Groth, those explosive Wendell, Lottie, Takiri, Manu, Vadavai, those sorts of players. But I reckon in terms of finishes, whatever the situation, right, whether you needed a little chip kick over the top, whether you had to be catching a cross-field aerial acrobatic style of a jump, whatever the scenario, whether you had to be contorting yourself around the corner post, Brett Morris has done it as good as anyone.
Yep. Good, well said, boys. And obviously we've spoken at length over the last few weeks about the Roosters injury toll. Now we've got Brett Morris, we've got Lindsay Collins, we've got obviously Luke Keary, we've got Jake Friend, we've got Boyd Cordner, and that's not all of them, but we need to move on now to the Rabbitohs on the injury list again, Hoops, because the Rabbitohs have Melbourne this Thursday night, no Latrell Mitchell, and now no Adam Reynolds.
Yeah, no Adam Reynolds. There's some concerns around Cam Murray as well. So, look, the update with Adam Reynolds, he's a brave little playmaker. He sustained the injury during the game. He still played the entire 80 minutes. It's ligaments in his thumb. It'll be a minimum of 4 weeks required on the sidelines. It's a blow for the Bunnies, no doubt, but at the same time, it underlines what a masterstroke South's agreeing to sign Benji Marshall was because Benji can move straight into that position. They'll probably bring Cody Walker back in to play 5-8. Alex Johnson can fill in at fullback, and away they go until Latrell comes back.
Okay, that's a big game that we will have for you too, Triple M on Thursday night. Dan will call that one for you, Melbourne South. That's going to be one of the games of the year. And if you're working or you're going to be driving or whatever, just tune into Triple M wherever you are and we'll have that game for you. Just repeating those scores from earlier on before we move on. Thanks to our mates at Tyre Power, South 34 beat Canberra 20, Melbourne 40, Cronulla 28, Broncos 36, Titans were 28 in the end. And then Penrith, 28, Manly, 16, Parramatta, 32, Dogs, 10, Roosters, 38, Knights, 4. That's all the scores. Thanks to our friends at Tyre Power. This is the Triple M Sunday Sinbin. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with more with Hoops. And so too Paul Kent and Gordon Tallison Maroon as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sinbin. Triple M rocks footy.
And welcome back to the Sunday Sin Bin, and we are right across the east coast of Australia through Brisbane, Sydney and everywhere in between. Got a game for you this afternoon at 4 o'clock. It's the Dragons and the Tigers. Dan will call that one for you. We've got Hoops, we've got Kenty, Gordy Tallis and Maroon. And coming up before 2 o'clock, we've got Isaiah Yeo from the Panthers, the co-captain of the Panthers, to come on and have a chat. Of course, the Panthers got a big game coming up in Dubbo against South in a few weeks. That's Isaiah's hometown, of course. Just before we move on to the next game, though, Hoops, just a couple of the injuries we could just go over a little bit more detail again. For South, also Campbell Graham and Cam Murray. Let's start with Campbell Graham.
Yeah, concerns for Campbell Graham is that he's fractured his hand, so he could be out for anywhere between 4 and 6 weeks, which means that their backline stocks, by the time you put Latrell and also Adam Reynolds in there as well, they are starting to get a little bit thin.
And then so Cam Murray?
Cam Murray, ankle ligaments or syndesmosis, as the medical experts like to use the terminology these days. In all likelihood, he'll be missing for a couple of weeks as well.
And just, you did go over it, but if I could just get the details again on Lindsay Collins, who got a bit overshadowed there with the Brett Morris stuff.
Well, yeah, the concerns and the fears are that it's an ACL, similar to BMOS, and that'll mean that for Lindsay it's season over. So, like we say, for the Roosters, it really was, as much as it was a terrific win for the club up there at Newcastle last night, it was overshadowed completely by the horrendous injury toll and the fact that that club at the moment, I think they've got about $4 million worth of talent on the sidelines as a result of major injuries. I've just got an update here from Souths as well, Anthony. So Adam and Cameron will both see the surgeon. That's Adam Reynolds and Cam Murray tomorrow see the surgeons, and their situations might change slightly depending on the opinion.
Okay, let's open it up now to you, Kenty, and you too, Gordy. So these two sides, obviously, Kenty, start the season as, you know, two of the premiership hotshots, the Roosters and the Bunnies. I mean, now, mate, they're not just losing one player or a couple of players. They've both got millions of dollars worth of talent on the bench.
Yeah, I think the Roosters are in a deeper hole than the Rabbitohs. The Rabbitohs, the light is that a lot of these players will be returning towards the end of the season. And that's not a bad thing if you can get them back, because it gives them almost, for want of a better term, a mid-season freshen up. Even though they're going through rehab, they're not going through the grind of playing every week. So in some ways, if you have a couple of injuries and you can get them back and you haven't caused too much damage to the you're standing on the ladder, then I think you're in pretty good shape. So I think Souths are okay, but the Roosters are, the fact that they're losing players for the season, such as Luke Keary, they've lost Jake Friend. Like, these players aren't going to be back this year now, but Brett Morris might be back this year, Lindsay Collins might be back this year. And if you go through the history of the Premiers in the last 20-odd years, you generally can only afford to have one, possibly two of your best players not playing grand final day. So you can get away with one injury, and the Roosters are a club that you know, you got to admire their spirit and their ethos of next man up. But inevitably, it's going to take a toll, and I think it's going to start taking a toll very soon. As well as they played on last night, the fact that they were down to 11 men on the field last night, the fact that they were still scoring tries against Newcastle, which must be extremely concerning for Adam O'Brien, and 11 11-man team can outpoint him. But at some point, it will take a toll on the Roosters. And I just think that we've probably reached that little sort of fulcrum now, and we're going to tip over the edge now. I think that's the point. South, I think, are okay. They're still in pretty good shape, and they'll get the players back. There's no one gone for the season at South, is there?
Don't think so.
No, you're right.
They're only more shorter term. Yeah,
they're all short term, yeah. So they'll come back as long and they're travelling so. They've only lost one game all season, so they are travelling so well at the moment. I don't think South are. I think they're in really good shape to win a premiership. To be honest,
yeah, I think. Look, and then I just think with both clubs, South have more gear. So when the whips start cracking, you know, Roosters might get through the competition, you know, and they might struggle against Penrith and Melbourne and South and those bigger clubs. But when it comes time to push and shove, you think South will have more in their kit bag when it comes time to the business end of the season and you've got to put 3, 4, 5 wins together. Are they overachieving a little bit now? The Roosters, I think they are, with the amount of injuries, but it just shows how strong their roster is, how good, you know, the depth is in their organisation. Sam Walker's been absolutely outstanding, but, you know, a young guy coming in at the moment, you think that he's going to, you know, be... He'll be the player that will be targeted the most on other people's game plans with no Keary and those guys coming back in and no Jake Friend. So you think South have more in the tank than what the Roosters will have at the business end of the season.
Boys, what about that, speaking of that game as a whole last night, now Roosters 38, Knights 4, Gordy, and the Knights have only won 3 games all year. Yep. And a couple of times they've been absolutely pumped like they were last night. What's going on there? I mean, I know they've had their fair share of injuries too.
They've got injuries as well. Yeah. You know, and then their roster's not as, you know, not as deep as some of the other clubs. You know, they played the Titans here. I can only talk about that. They were, you know, they were way down on troops and there was a death to one of their, you know, SG ball players. So they were knocked around a bit about three weeks ago. For me, they're not laying the platform. I think they're struggling for a leader, Newcastle, and they got Clemmer and Frizzell and those guys there, but no one's leading them, you know, when the chips are down. And, you know, as soon as Mitchell Pearce goes, like last year when Mitchell Pearce played good, I think he got 5 or 6 man of the matches, or it might have been the year before, they were winning, they were on a streak. And if Callum Ponga or Mitchell Pearce don't play good, it seems to be that the whole organisation doesn't go good, and that's danger signs, you know. And I don't know where Newcastle go. You know, Nathan Brown was the problem, and they thought they'd get Adam O'Brien. That's come out of a great system. He come out of the Melbourne and Roosters system, but I haven't watched that club improve.
All right, boys, let me just play you some audio of Coach Adam O'Brien from the Newcastle Knights talking about whether or not the Knights need to make some positional and staff changes.
It's bigger than that. We need to find why. You know, we're not the team that we were last year. Even though we had injuries last year, we've had them again this year, but we were excited by our footy. So, you know, there'll be some stuff for me lying in and around that too. So we'll have a conversation about it tomorrow and see if we can find some solutions to get excited about this season, because it's not gone yet, but we need to start making some decisions on what we want to get out of it.
Okay, boys, do you think, Hoops, let me start with you. Is Adam O'Brien under any pressure?
No, he's not under any pressure, Anthony. I think he only re-signed. He got a contract extension over the course of the off-season because he was being repeatedly linked with the Melbourne Storm, where he spent 10 years as an assistant to Craig Bellamy. And we now know that Craig will be the head coach at the Melbourne Storm again next year in 2022. But at that stage, Adam was being suggested as a possible replacement. So, no, he's not under any pressure, but there's no doubt, to Gordy's point from a minute ago, there are some cracks there, and I don't have the answers, but Gordon's right. It seems to be that unless Kalen and Mitchell Pearce are on song and firing, then, you know, Tyson Frizzell was brought to the club to stiffen up the forward pack. It was David Clemmer prior to that. Jaden Brayley's a good young hooker. So it seems as though everything's in place. And they had success last year because they made the finals for the first time in a number of seasons. But it's not happening this year.
The thing is, and I think this is what Adam O'Brien was talking about last night, they can't handle any adversity at the moment, the Knights. As soon as a team starts to roll through them a little bit, there's nobody in the side at the moment who says, come on, boys, let's just stiffen up our defence a little bit and gets a little bit of mongrel and goes back at the opposition. They become very submissive the way they play the game. They just allow the game to come to them. And all this is stuff that should be innate in professional footballers. But the Knights is trying to find it. That when they've got players like Mitchell Pearce there who can actually articulate it and talk and says the right things and can bond the team together on the field, they go okay. But there's no resiliency in their defence whatsoever. So once you start to get a bit of a roll, it's almost like they've got this passive defence that just allows the teams to keep coming at them, and they just start retreating up the field as the defence comes forward, as the attack comes forward, and there's nobody in the team saying, look, we need to turn this around.
That's David Clemmer's job. That's David Clemmer and Tyson Frizzell's job. It's simple as that. They've both played at the highest level. And then you get a rare kid that'll come along and set a standard, like a young Tino or whatever, and you get the young Sam Burgess when they go to South. There's some special young kids that come along and they set a standard. But most of the time, Paul, when I played, and for the life of me, it's your front rows, it's your senior guys, it's your hard-headed guys that are no-nonsense.
Yeah.
And when you look at the night side and you're reading through, they're the two guys that I'd be looking for. Even if I was playing and I'm going to lead, I'd be looking for those two guys to be right beside me, or if not in front of me a little bit.
Yeah. And do you think they're providing that?
No. And that's what we're looking at. So when the chips are down and all those young kids, and that's what Brisbane and the Cowboys and the Dogs, they're looking for that old guy that's just got no nonsense, that does his job week in, week out, that sets a standard that you guys get embarrassed if you don't go with him. And there's no one at Newcastle embarrassing their teammates beside them and saying, you got to come with me. I'm going to go this hard and go that way, and you guys are going to come with me. And that's what they're lacking.
Yeah. The Knights, to me, are a team who are too busy enjoying the spoils of being an NRL player in a one-team town.
Yes.
And aren't really willing to, like the Broncos have been in the past couple of years. They went around and they got the free entry into the nightclubs, and they got all the pats on the back and all the people wanting the selfies and all that. And they're living on the fat of the people who have been there before and got the job done before, but they're not doing it themselves. And they don't seem prepared to sacrifice to get there. They seem quite content the fact that they're playing NRL. They don't want to win at NRL because they're happy playing NRL. And that's the mentality at Newcastle at the moment, and which Newcastle was always the opposite. They are a team, they fought for every bone. That's what, the toughness and tomorrows, that's what Newcastle was always about.
And no matter where they were, you'd go to Newcastle, it was a beat up.
Yep.
You had to check yourself in. I don't care where they were on the table. You'd go to Newcastle without the Johns boys. You'd go there and you knew you were in a battle.
Yeah.
I'd love to challenge anybody that's gone to Newcastle, go, hey, guys, you have to check yourself in today.
Trent Robinson actually acknowledged that last night after the game. He said that he spoke to his players about honouring the fact that they're going to a rugby league town where people know what good footballers look like and where you've got to put in a good performance to get the result. So he drilled that into his team, paying respect to Newcastle and what Newcastle have done in in the history of the club, and yet the Newcastle players themselves were the ones that couldn't live up to it.
Hey, Paul, genius this reverse whole thing psychology. About, actually, I might save it for the BS. I'm going to save that to the BS.
Hoops.
I was just saying, to Kenny's point there, it's genius reverse psychology from Robbo to tap into the fact that Newcastle's a blue-collar town. It's been born and raised on rugby league, and they know their football. And so he's used that as a motivation to get his side, who were depleted, down on troops, had every reason not to show up last night. They've got an 18-year-old halfback who's completely kicked the door off the hinges. I think he had 5 try assists.
4. And a try.
I just checked the numbers. I think it was 5.
Yeah,
because he set the last one up for Josh Morris too.
High five.
So yeah, what a special talent he looks. But yeah, there's some problems there at the Knights at the moment. You can see it from an outside point of view. I don't know exactly what they are, but certainly you look at that roster. There's representative players all throughout that side, and some of the best emerging young talent in the game, i.e. Bradman Best in the centres, who I thought the Roosters did a terrific job of containing last night.
They're learning bad habits already.
Well, how do you fix that?
Well, you've got to put it on the senior players. The senior players should be the one thing a senior player should be teaching the young kids is the standards you've got to reach every week to play in the NRL, and the fact that, firstly, you just never quit, you never surrender. And the Knights aren't doing that. So these kids are... Yeah, the worst thing that can happen to a young footballer coming through is to get comfortable with losing, because generally when they're coming through young It's because they're high achievers. They've had successful junior careers. And if they come into a bad organisation where the senior players are far too comfortable with losing, then what ends up happening is the players sort of just rubs
becomes
off
the norm. It becomes
acceptable
behaviour. Yeah.
And once it becomes acceptable, then that's difficult because then you've got to try and change it. So Adam O'Brien's got this job now where he's going to go and say, you know what, we need to turn some things over here because we don't want Bradman Best learning bad habits of senior players who are, as I said, happy just to be NRL players, happy to be the big dog in the town.
By the name of Andrew G, right? And he never won anything. But at training, he'd come last. He and Petro would come last. And you get into a game and it's tough, and the tougher the game, he would tell you to get out of the road. And when the other sides, you know, like they're barring up and they're coming and they're charging at you and they're hitting you with everything, he'd tell you to get out of the road. So I'm tougher than you, I'm going to take this run. So that was the standard that was set from Andrew G, that when you, and he wasn't making all the rep sides, and there was Shane Webke and Lazarus and Petro and Thorne and all these guys, but he would be the one to say, I'm taking this hit up. So everybody was fighting to take that tough run. And that's the standard you set. That's what you want from your guys. That's what you want from your leader. And Andrew G, he never won anything at trainer, but he touched every line. A bit like the old Muhammad Ali. Mm. How many sit-ups you do? I don't know. I only started counting when it hurts.
Mm.
And that's what it is in a game. When it's hurting and you need to be tough and you need to be brave, you know, that's when those senior guys lead the way. And it might be an action like that. It might be a hit-up. It might be a tackle. You know, it might even be giving away a penalty and taking on the bully. But, you know, they're the things that our game's lacking at the moment.
Mm. And it's lacking not just Newcastle. It's lacking quite a few. The Tigers are exactly the same.
The bottom eight sides are lacking that, Paul.
Mm. Yeah. Well,
can I do my BS now?
Yeah, all right. Why not?
Well, because I think it's come down to the sports scientists in our game. Like, I used to have to run 8.5K, and it's not even mine. Like, mate, all the old guys, you just had to do what you had to do, and there was a mental toughness that come to your trainer. Now there's all these stories that, oh, you can't train tomorrow because you've run 4K today and you've done it. So the players today look like Superman. They take off their shirts. They've all got the Instagram. They've all got the abs. Arthur Beats and all, guys I played with, like Shane Webke, Glenn Lazarus, Andrew G, they didn't have abs, but they did tougher stuff than what these guys, the front rowers that come off today.
Mm.
Like, there's a platform. I think the sports scientists have softened our game a little bit, and that's the resilience. That's that mental toughness part that you're not allowed to put in the players today, that you're not allowed to push them too far. You're not allowed to make them ask themselves questions, push themselves until they stop and beat that little guy on the shoulders that tells them to stop.
Yeah. Can I just add to that?
Yes.
I spoke to Trent Robinson some years back about the Roosters, who we all admire the way they're going about their business at the moment. And he was talking about the sports science and exactly what you just referred to there, Gordy. And he said most clubs use all this data to figure out when they've got to start saying to guys, okay, pull back. He said when they start to overwork, he said, mate, we use the data to make sure we don't underwork. So they actually go beyond and they made themselves. And he, like some players, he would push them deliberately into the zone where all the doctors, sports scientists are going, nah, now's the time to stop. He'd push them there deliberately and then he'd get a bit more out of them because he wanted to get, he wanted to teach that mental toughness, which you can't do any other way than by doing.
Science comes from deep down, like rugby league science is coming deep down, and the things that we cherish are the guys that dig deeper than the other guys, like Jonathan Thurston on a field, or Gutherson the other day. What was it? You know, he's the guy that runs 10Ks. He's supposed to be the fittest guy, and they do these 2.K. There's no sports science in his performances every week.
Yeah.
He runs 270 metres. He's on every ball. Billy Slater, oh, mate, you got to stop because you've run 4Ks. He runs 10 every game. Mm-hmm. So if you want a bloke to be a man on Sundays, he's got to be a man from Monday to Saturday.
Mm.
I think that we're building little children. And the sports scientists, like, get off your computer, soldier, mate. Too much technology, mate. We ban it at our house. You got an hour on it and then get off it. and every player's got it. And you know what? And maybe they know too much about themselves. You know what? Like, when I was playing, they'd have an old-fashioned stopwatch. You didn't know whether you were making the time or not. They'd tell you that you made the time, or they told you that you missed the time.
Yeah.
Mate, you got another one. We could have been making the time. Mm. There was no GPS. There was no watch. There was, and we couldn't track ourselves, but we were getting told whether we were good or bad, and we had to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point you make there. No, I think that's a good hoops.
And I don't want to be a dinosaur, you know, and say, Bob, mate, back in my day, but I just think that the game can have a little bit of dinosaur and we're lacking that part of the mental toughness when something goes against you and you've got to do an extra effort. They can't do it because the scientists have told them that they can't.
Yeah. Mm.
Gordon, you have a day off.
You're not being a dinosaur. We love the Raging Bull. But I will say this in terms of being a man on Sunday. Matt from Collaroy, long-time listener of the program, has been in touch. Anthony, he's noted that you're up in the Brisbane studio. He said, thank you, Anthony, for reaching out to Uncle Pat after you accidentally broke his jaw with that hairline fracture in the midst of a disagreement regarding a trivia question about the Wombat's name in a country practice.
That's right.
He thought you called Auntie Helen Fatso after not hearing the context of the comment correctly. He said he looks forward to eating the chocolates after they remove the wire in his jaw and also his cheekbone. He also appreciates the reading material. He didn't realise Ryebald was still making hard copy magazines. He turns 92 next week and he'd love a visit. Yours in trivia, Matt.
As I said, he is an absolute pestosaurus. And what's his wife's name? She's the troublemaker.
Helen. Was it Helen?
Yeah.
Or
she's
Fatso.
Fanicum.
One of the two.
She's Fanicum. No, that's Auntie Helen. She's only got two heads.
Yeah, hang on. You've already insulted her once, so you're going to insult Auntie Helen again.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Matt from Collaroy because I noticed that Buzz Rothfield wrote today that Matty Johns, or Matt from Collaroy, has had surgery on his back to which he had to have strong painkillers. And
by we know how much he's got to have it. Like that, did you actually read it or did you just read the headline?
Well, he would have hated to have strong painkillers.
He needs surgery. He's been pushing through the pain barrier. In 2 weeks' time, our great leader, Matt from Collaroy, is going to have back surgery and he won't miss a day. He's getting...
The strong.
The best players play hurt, Anthony.
Yeah. See, mate, that's what we're talking about. So there's no sports science in Collaroy's house, right?
Right.
But I think he's catching one of those, what are they called? Those big home vehicles, what are they called?
Winnebago.
Right. So he's coming up for the magic ground to watch the football in a Winnebago because he can't sit. He's got to lay down after surgery.
Well, I hope his uncle's okay and his auntie's okay. But most importantly, I hope his back's okay and he's okay with those strong painkillers. And good to know he's listening and we'll see him up here for magic round. We're all coming up for magic round, aren't we?
Yes.
Well, you live here, don't you? So you'll be
up here. Yeah, I won't be coming up, but I'll certainly be here. Looking forward to it.
All right. Hoops, Kenty, Gordon Tallis, Maroon. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk about the Panthers game as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
And welcome back to it. It is the Sunday Sin Bin on Triple M. And very shortly, we will speak to Isaiah Yeo from the Panthers. We've got some fun coming up too, some very interesting stuff in Maroon Confidential that involves a few of our own people today. We might even do a quiz, and if we do, the topic today will be entertainment, which I know you love, Hoops, kids' movies, which is right up your alley. Paul Kent, James Tricep Super, and Gordon Tallis. We've only got a quick space here, but I thought, Hoops, we might do that halfback update or halfback merry-go-round update because we hear Sean Johnson to the Broncos, then we hear Adam Reynolds, then we hear DCE to South. It's an absolute mad woman's breakfast at the moment.
It is, yeah. There's a lot going on in that space. Look, in all likelihood, Anthony, I think Adam Reynolds will go and sign with the Cronulla Sharks. That'll be a three-year arrangement beginning next season. That's what he always wanted out of the South Sydney Rabbitohs. They didn't want to budge on the 12-month offer that they put forward and then wanted to assess it on a year-by-year basis. Yes, the Broncos are going to come in with the red carpet and Kevvy Walters will make his pitch. The new CEO, Dave Donaghy, will also be on board. But I don't think – I think it's too little too late. I think that Craig Fitzgibbon, the new Cronulla coach, is already a long way down the track in terms of negotiations with Adam. At the Parramatta Eels, the Mitchell Moses situation, he's meant to give them an answer by round 10, which is obviously the clock's ticking there because we've nearly finished round 8. So he hasn't got that much longer to let Parramatta know what he's doing. I don't think he'll go anywhere, even if that deadline does elapse and he essentially just does become a free agent for next year and beyond. I think Mitchell, you look at that performance from him and the team last night, they're now a top four side. They're flying. He's got a great playing rapport and also off-field relationship with players like Clint Gutherson and some of the other big guns at the Eels. So I think Mitchell will stay in blue and gold. The Eels have been smart about how they've tried to handle this negotiation. I think they've tried to incentivise the deal with respect to if they are to make a grand final, which is what every club's aspiring to do, then Mitchell gets a bonus if they do that. If they were to win a grand final in terms of the new contract that they're pushing forward, then Mitchell would get a further bonus as a result of taking the Eels to their first title since 1986. So I think it's a smart play, and I think in all likelihood he'll remain in blue and gold. Sean Johnson's the unknown, Anthony. He's obviously with the Sharks at the moment. I think the Broncos will also come into the picture there, and then he's going to have a decision to make. There's an article in the paper today as well where Michael Cech is pushing him possibly over to Japanese rugby. So he has got a couple of different options on the table.
Okay, well, that's an interesting one. Japanese rugby. Boys, we might take a break because we don't want to keep him waiting any longer. Isaiah Yeo from the Panthers to talk about that wonderful run that's seen them lose one regular season game since June last year. The Panthers had another win yesterday. And we'll speak to Isaiah Yeo very shortly as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
And this is the Sunday Sin Bin. Paul Kent from NRL 360. James Triceps Hooper, who looks like he's been doing a bit of work on the old biceps recently. By geez, you left that shirt in the dryer a little bit too long, didn't you?
Mate, I wouldn't be throwing stones about shirts if I was you.
That is tight. And
that's
so
nice. He's got a bit of linen on today, Maroon.
Yeah, it's quite
warm. Mate, you got to dress up in Queensland.
Yeah. Gordon Tallis too in the Gordon Tallis studio in the beautiful city of Brisbane. We're going to speak to Isaiah Yeo now, boys. Before we do, just a quick look at the ladder because, of course, the Mighty Panthers up there in first, in equal second. Then you have the Rabbitohs and the Parramatta Eels. Then the Roosters and Storm. Then a four-point buffer to the Dragons on eight. But the Dragons, of course, have a game today. Titans on six, Warriors on six. So we'll just take a look at the eight. And eight wins from eight starts to start 2021. Isaiah Yeo, welcome to the Sunday Sin Bin.
Thank you for having me.
And congratulations, mate, on the start of the year. I was just saying to the boys earlier on, you've got a game coming up against the Bunnies in your hometown of Dubbo in the next couple of weeks. That must be massive for a bloke like you or someone like Matty Burton.
You know, exactly right. It's I guess when you get to go to Bathurst, that's obviously nice, but to sort of go an extra couple of hours to where it all started, for both myself and Matty Burton, it's really looking forward to it. And it's obviously it's a really quality game that they're taking out there. Obviously, Rabbitohs are flying high at the minute, and we're in pretty good form ourselves. So it's you sort of grow up. Every now and then, you might get a city country game out there or a trial, and I still remember how excited I was for that. So to get a game like they've sort of set up in about 3 weeks' time, it's something I'm really looking forward to.
Isaiah, hey mate, you've had a great start to the season, and it's carried on from the way you performed so well last year. Maroon said in the intro there, one regular season loss since June. Do you guys actually talk about the prospect or the potential of going through undefeated?
No, it's not something that's spoken about, and I think we've done a good job of sort of picking out little things from every game that we need to learn on, and I think that's something we did really well last year. I think we're constantly learning from games even though we're winning. And I think that's sort of trickled onto this year. So I guess it's the old cliche, but it's something that really rings true for our club and with Ivan sort of as our coach. It's 1 week at a time, and every week there's some things to fix or to learn from. And it's just something we're doing really well at the minute. So, rugby league's a funny game. A lot can happen and a lot can change in a couple of weeks. So I think we understand that. And you never get sick of winning, so you don't want to take these moments for granted, that's for sure.
The other thing on that, though, too, is because there's been a lot of talk about the new rules and the injury toll it's had on teams. And we look at the Roosters again last night, and it sparked some debate about whether the rules need to be changed because of the carnage it's causing. But then you look at you blokes, who essentially you have very little change for a year now.
Yeah, I think that's obviously with the Roosters last night, it breaks your heart to see some of the injuries that went on there. But I think as a group, we've done well. I think our performance, like head of performance, Aidan Niles and his staff do a good job of getting us fit. But we're a young side and full of energy, and I think these rules sort of suit us to a T, to be fair. So you look at the players we've got, everyone's fit and mobile. And I think, the way the rules are going at the minute, the game's speeding up, I think it just suits us so well. So I think we've handled it well, and I obviously hope they don't change it back. It's I think it fits our team really well.
Isaiah, I think everybody loves watching the Panthers attack. There's that much punch and flair and a hell of a lot going on, and it's genuinely exciting and entertaining football. But I think what's gone a little bit unsung so far this season is the fact you've only let 60 points in over the course of the opening 8 rounds of the competition. I imagine that your coaching staff would be really banging the drum about how impressed they are about the wall that the Panthers have built in terms of the club's defence.
Yeah, that's obviously Cameron Serrato in charge of that, and something he takes a lot of pride in. I thought if you sort of just look even at the game yesterday, we obviously weren't at our best, but I thought the way we were able to defend our try line, I think it was about a 4 or 5 set period there where we just had to keep turning them away, and they end up coming up with an error. It's obviously something we pride ourselves on, and I think our attack and defence sort of go hand in hand. Our defence, it can help us win the field position battle, so all of a sudden we're having more attacking sets, and obviously we've got the players there that can score points and little mismatches across the field that we seem to be taking advantage of at the minute. So, they both work well together, attack and defence, but it's something we pride ourselves on. You don't want to let each other down the line, and I think we're doing that pretty well at the minute.
Yeah, that's from a team's point of view, but personally I think you've taken your game to another level. Obviously everybody wants to play State of Origin. Was that one of your goals at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, I guess getting a taste of it last year, it's something you want to be a part of again and again, but I guess it all starts from club land and obviously doing your role for the team and obviously your team having success as well. That probably put me in the frame of it last year, that the team played so well for the whole season, and that sort of boosts you up into the little contentions like that. So, it'd be nice too, but I understand that you need to be playing well at club land and your team needs to be playing well. So that's my priority. It's still a month away, so a lot can happen between now and then, and I'm in a position where I think that's probably where New South Wales is really strong depth-wise at that sort of lock middle position. So, we'll see what happens over the next month. It'd obviously be nice too, but there's a fair bit to do between now and then.
Mate, what about the boy band, brothers? You lost Josh Mansour last year, and I thought he's to help out the forward so much, just getting you guys on the front foot. But Brian To'o has been absolutely outstanding, and again yesterday.
Yeah, look, he runs for 200 metres. for fun, to be fair. He's phenomenal for us. I think there was a period there in the second half where we were struggling a little bit in the middle, and he took, I think, play 1 and 3. Just incredible for us. He can do that hard stuff coming out of yardage and all that sort of stuff, but then at the same time, he's a try scorer as well. He's taking his game to another level. He's done himself right in the position for an Origin start, I'd imagine. But it definitely doesn't go unnoticed with our team, particularly with losing Joshy Mansour there. He's taken that with both hands, and he's probably been our best player all year, to be fair. He's not the one setting up all the try assists and everything like that, but he gets us out of our end well, and he's just incredibly important for us.
What about your music taste? Being a kid from the Dubbo, from Dubbo, you'd sort of remind me a bit of Shane Webke, and every time there was a bit of rap music or pop on the radio or on the jukebox, you'd turn it over to a bit of country.
Yeah, well, I don't get that say in this team. a lot of mouth-drawn songs at the minute, so they try and get me to sing along, but not so much. I just let them do their thing, and it's not my taste. I can't imagine me playing it when I'm 50 years old, that's for sure.
Can't imagine anyone. Just take us through Nathan Cleary at the moment. It must be such a pleasure to have a player so in command of his game at the moment.
Yeah, it is. And obviously what you're seeing is the final product on the field, but what he does from Monday to Friday, Monday to Thursday, whenever you're playing, he'd be the last on the field by an hour, and then he goes and studies. He's in the club the longest, and on top of that is just the ultimate competitor. He's been tremendous for us. He's leading us around, whether it be try assists or taking the line on or his kicking game getting us out of trouble. It just seems that whatever the team needs at that time, he seems to be doing it at sort of the highest class. So. He was doing it last year, and I think he's only getting better this year. I'm very happy that he's our 7 and he's the one leading us around, that's for sure.
And his balance to that is so spot on, isn't it? You see some halves, they're either, Mitch Moses talks about it a lot, for example, you're either concentrating on the running game or the game management, and a lot of halves it's almost one or the other, but Nathan, he just gets you guys around the park so well, but he's also so dangerous because he's such a tremendous running threat.
Yeah, exactly right. He just knows what we need at that moment. And look, that's something he's done for the last 18 months, probably his whole year, particularly that game management. That's something he's always been good at, I think. But yeah, sort of as he's got more games under his belt and become more experienced, his ability to take the line on, know when to pass, know when to run, knowing what pass to give it at each moment. It's just ultimate class. And look, he was probably the best player last year. He didn't get the Dally M, but I think it was probably just because a lot of the boys in our team took a few points off him at the back end of the year. But he'd be there again or thereabouts again this season. He's just outstanding. Like I said, he just knows when to what we need at each moment, and he's doing that well.
Mm. Hey, mate, before we let you go, this current interchange bench for the Panthers, blokes like Lee Neumay, Eisenhuth, obviously Liam Martin, these blokes would walk straight in to a spot in most other sides.
Yeah, exactly right. I think if you look at Liam Martin, he was a couple of positions off maybe from being in the State of Origin squad at the back end of the year. Mm. Tyrone May's versatility is phenomenal. And obviously Spencer Lanier and Matty Eisenhuth. Matty Eisenhuth was starting lock for the Tigers last year at the back end. And Spencer Lanier, obviously young but coming through. And look, he's been outstanding for us. So look, we're lucky. He doesn't just stop there. We've got incredible depth into our New South Wales Cup, so they haven't been beaten yet either. So, look, it's obviously a good feeling around the group at the moment, not just the top 17 in NRL, but the top 30 in the squad. So everything's going well at the minute, and, particularly those four boys, they're adding a bit of punch for us at sort of the back end of each half there, which is really nice.
Good on you, mate. Good to catch up with you, Isaiah.
Thanks, boys. Thank you for having me, Tat.
There he is, mate, the co-captain of the good on you, mate, Penrith Panthers. Isaiah Yeo joining us on the Sunday Sin Bin with Hoops, Paul Kent, Gordy Tallis and Maroon. We're going to take a break. Now, when we come back, the thing everybody's talking about at the moment is the conference system. I know Paul's had plenty to say about it. We'll get his thoughts. We'll get Hoops. We'll get Gordy Tallis to weigh in. Where do you guys lie on the conference system? We're going to find out more about that shortly as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M, Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.